For this week's Wednesday evening devotion, we're going to be focusing very briefly on the theme of Thanksgiving. That's because Thanksgiving, at least for this year, is tomorrow. So we have this opportunity now to reflect upon how, as Christians, one of our main callings in the Christian life is to be a thankful people. Actually, to be a Christian is to be someone who is thankful. And so briefly, I just want to focus on three passages of Scripture that help make one point. And the point is that as Christians, Thanksgiving for us, it's motivated or fueled or spurred on by remembrance. In other words, by remembering what God has done for us. It's then tied to, intimately connected to, worship, and it's expressed primarily in prayer. So this is the one point that I want to make from three passages. The first passage I want us to consider as we think on Thanksgiving being tied to our memory or fueled by and motivated by remembering what God has done for us. The passage I want us to look at is Joshua chapter 4. I encourage you to read this today. Read this sometime, maybe tomorrow, as you think on how God has been gracious to you, primarily in your own salvation and the way he has freed you from the bondage of sin and Satan and death itself, and what he has done for you. So in Joshua 4, the people of Israel are poised to cross over they have crossed over into the promised land. That's Joshua chapter 3. And as they make their way to the other side of the Jordan River, after the river splits apart the same way that the Red Sea split for the people to walk across on dry ground, we read Joshua command the people to do this. So listen to God's word from Joshua 4, beginning in verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.'" And let me read in the latter part of the chapter, beginning in verse 19. "The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all of the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" So Joshua, or the Lord through Joshua, commanded the people to take these 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel from the Jordan River itself to set up what is called an Ebenezer, to set a statue that would serve as a token of memory, a way to remember not just the individual Israelites, but the community as a whole of God's mercy and favor to them, that they would continually be a thankful people. Their success in the land depended upon how thankful they are, because their thankfulness was tied to their worship of the one true God, the one who gave them redemption. That's why we see in our second passage, I want us to consider the intimate connection between thankfulness and worship. And that passage is Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a psalm we use often for the call to worship, because it is just that. Actually, it's one psalm that's made up of two calls to worship. So give your attention to Psalm 100, and notice as I read through this how thoroughly it's spoken of as being tied to Thanksgiving, or the connection between worshiping God is made with Thanksgiving. We see this even in the title of the psalm, which is A Psalm for Giving Thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Not only in the title, but throughout this psalm, you see the connection of coming to the Lord and worshiping, between the connection between that worship, the act of worship, and thanksgiving. Enter his courts with thanksgiving, we read in verse 4. And his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. And then again, give thanks to him. Bless his name always. So that there is a connection, there's an aspect of worship, both in its general expression, that is every day of your life, and its specific expression in worship on the Lord's Day. There's a connection between that and thanksgiving. It's what we do as Christians. We give thanks to the Lord. Why don't we give thanks to the Lord? Well, because he has redeemed us, just as he redeemed his people Israel from bondage and then guided them throughout the wilderness and then gave them the beautiful promised land and saw them safely take that land by going through the Jordan River. So he has redeemed us from our bondage to sin, and he guides us our pilgrimage through this present evil age, and he will bring us across, you could say, heavenly Jordan into heavenly Canaan in the future. This is what he's promised to do, and we give him thanks for what he has done. That's why this psalm, Psalm 100, speaks of the Lord's steadfast love, which endures forever, his goodness to us, his name, everything about his person that spurs on our praise, that is expressed to us in how he's redeemed us. We look to this, our past redemption, and what awaits us in the future, and we are thankful people, or we should be. We should also be thankful because, as this psalm tells us, we find our source of life in God himself. Verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's the one who created us, and he's the one who continues to sustain us and provide for us as sheep. He's our great shepherd. Since we are fully dependent upon him, we ought to be fully thankful to him because all that we have, he gives to us richly to enjoy. And then the final passage of scripture I want us to focus on is from the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians chapter 4. For here we see that thanksgiving, which is spurred on and motivated by remembrance, which is tied intimately to worship, it is expressed, I would say primarily expressed, in prayer. We hear the Apostle Paul instruct the Philippians and us through the Philippians, saying in verses 4 through 6, or 4 through 7 of chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there's the command by Paul, the encouragement by Paul to bring to the Lord everything in prayer, and to do so, in verse 6, with thanksgiving. So that we express our dependence upon God in our prayers, we worship God in our prayers, and we do so with a flavoring, the flavoring of thanksgiving. You know, like a nice piece of meat is made better, is flavored wonderfully when you put a good like crust of salt on it to draw out the flavors from the middle of the meat and lock in the juices. It's a wonderful thing. Well, the same is for our prayers, where the Lord instructs us to flavor our prayers with salt, the salt of thanksgiving, because it's a joy to him. It's a joy to our hearts. And as he says in the book of Colossians, it's a way we guard our prayers is by being thankful. I think it's Colossians 4, verses 4 and following, or 2 and following. And so you and I, as we reflect on the Thanksgiving holiday, as Christians, we know to whom we give our thanks. And that is to the Lord who has redeemed us, who created us, who provides for us, who is worthy of all of our worship and thanksgiving and praise, and the one to whom we bring all of our anxieties and rest in him, knowing that as what the Apostle Paul says here is exactly true, that as we pray with thanksgiving, he will give us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So as we consider Thanksgiving this year, may we meditate on these passages of Scripture. Look at them in your own time, Joshua chapter 4, Psalm 100, and then Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. May the Lord bless you on this Thanksgiving holiday. Amen.